Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Frederick County Sports Weekend. I'm Ed Lilly with Pete McLeod. Pete will be back next week, and we're brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. I am delighted to have Greg Swiatek of the Frederick News Post. He is probably the most knowledgeable guy about that athletics in Frederick County, at least, and a friend of the of us in the show, and delighted to have you back.
I hope I live up to my reputation.
Well,
so.
You have over the years. Many, many times when we're doing football games, you've come up and assisted us at halftime and given us some background and stuff we might not have seen and things like that.
I'm happy to do it.
And we're delighted to have you there. And you're great to follow in the Frederick News Post. I've got to give you a plug. So,
yeah.
How long have you been writing for them now?
I'm going on 10 years. September will be 10 years, a full decade. So it doesn't seem like that long, but time does fly. It goes by fast, and I've been very happy here. I love the guys I work with. I love the area. I love Frederick. It's a really nice area to live.
I got you here. How did you get started writing?
Sports have always been my passion. I always loved playing sports, and I always grew up watching and following sports very closely. I'd have the sports page spread out in front of me on the breakfast table every morning, and I just always loved sports, and I was never going to be good enough to play sports professionally. No one was ever going to pay me to play sports, but I loved it, and I said, how do I stay involved? I wrote pretty well, I thought. So I just married the two together and got a newspaper job back when I was in college and went from there.
Now you get to follow your love, your dream.
Yes.
And you get to be there and meet all these great kids.
The job's a lot of fun. I don't complain about going to work on many days.
It really is. And we have met a lot of great athletes in Frederick County in the past 10 years.
No doubt about it.
And because you started just about the time Pete and I were doing the games together here. That's about 10 years ago.
My first football season here was 2007.
Yep.
That was my very first football season.
I'm pretty sure that was our first. So. I don't think it was 2006, but I could be wrong.
Yep.
Getting old.
Yeah,
anyway.
so we've known each other for a long time, and we've sort of been on the trail together all this time.
Many times.
So.
We've seen a lot of amazing things, and that's one of the things we're talking about today. The point of this show is we're going to discuss some of the athletes that have gone from Frederick County into college and played and into the ranks of the pros, and it's a number of them, surprisingly.
It's a really great sports area, which makes my job all the more fun because there's lots of great athletes to cover and lots of successful teams. I think we've had a state champion in every single sport across the board, either team or individual, not necessarily both, but at least a team or individual win a state title in every single sport that's offered for public high school in Maryland. So, which is a remarkable achievement.
Well, I've gotten a chance to go to the state championships for a number of years now, and this year I got to go
for football. You're talking about, yeah,
and go to the Naval, and for basketball too, and for the ones we've gone all the way. But I got a chance to go to the Naval Academy Stadium and sit in the nosebleeds section up in the press box where you really felt like you needed a parachute. It's so far above the field.
Yeah, it's a little higher than M&T Bank, the Ravens Stadium where we were in previous years.
It is, but it's a great location, great site, very, very similar inside to M&T Bank Stadium. But we got to watch Walkersville win for a change after a long time. A huge win for them, and I think they're probably going to be back. But let's talk about a football player that made it from Ligonier and who's been playing. I mean, he was in St. Louis, but he got moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah, his team got moved.
Yeah.
He didn't move or get transferred so much as the team he plays for did. And you're referring to, obviously, Rob Havenstein of Ligonier, who graduated, I want to say, this shows you how fast the years have gone by. He graduated, I think his last year was 2009. He was a senior for Ligonier's state championship football team in 2009. He went on to have a great career at Wisconsin. I think he set a school record at Wisconsin for most consecutive starts. He was a right tackle. He's a huge guy. He got drafted in the second round.
2015, which was a big surprise.
Yeah, I mean, he was pegged to go in the middle rounds. That wasn't going to be a huge surprise, but not even he expected to go in the second round.
And he started almost right away.
Yes, he was pressed into the starting duty. Did not allow a sack. He was the right tackle at Wisconsin. He that's the job he holds right now for the Los Angeles Rams. He was drafted by the St. Louis Rams, and he started right away. And I think the second game he played, week two, they were in Washington, so I got to go down into the Redskins game and catch up with him there. And he had a great rookie season, and he had a pretty good second season. So he's going into his third training camp coming up in about another 2 or 3 months, and will be with the Rams again for season number 3.
And, of course, he's not the first football player for Frederick County to be in the NFL. But
no.
By a long shot.
But basically the high – no one's been picked that high. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
Baseball. You were just telling me we've got a number of people in the pros now from Frederick County.
At least 5.
Wow.
And we could have a few more drafted. I mean, Jacob Wetzel of Walkersville, an awesome football player, one of their best football players. His best sport – and he's good at just about everything. His best sport is baseball. So there's a very good chance in the next year or two, next summer or two, he will be drafted as well. He's going to Old Dominion. He intends to, right now, obviously, honor that commitment. But we'll see how high he gets drafted, and that might change his mind. But we've had Brandon Klein in the pro ranks for quite some time now. He got hurt. He's been hurt a lot. He was drafted by the Orioles in 2012, I want to say. Second round pick by the Orioles. He was originally taken out of high school, out of Thomas Johnson High School, I believe, in 2009 or 10. Again, these years are starting to run together
yeah,
a little bit. But he was taken out of high school in the 6th round by the Boston Red Sox. He chose to go to the University of Virginia, and he played 3 years there, so he got a lot of schoolwork done, and he got most of the way to his degree. And then the Orioles took him in the 2nd round, and he didn't want to turn down a pro chance for the 2nd time. So he was with the Orioles. He pitched for the Keys in 2012, I want to say. And or 12 or 13, he pitched for the Keys, and now he's in Double A with the Bowie Bay Sox. He's working his way back from an injury. He didn't pitch at all last season, so hopefully we'll see him pitching very soon. Now, in this last baseball draft last June, we had 4 players taken. We had Tyler Beckwith of Ligonier, we had Taylor Hisong of Frederick High, the pitcher. We had Connor Myers with the Chicago Cubs. He went to Middletown, and we had Brady Policelli, the former Walkersville High School quarterback and baseball player. He got drafted, I believe, in the 4th round by the Detroit Tigers. And right now, Connor Myers of Middletown is in A-ball with the Cubs and playing outstanding center field defensively. That's he's not the greatest hitter. He's in sort of a number 8, number 9 hitter, but he's outstanding in the field, and that could accelerate his track through the minor leagues because he's so good defensively. And he's in A-ball. The other 3 guys, Hisong is with the Braves organization. I want to say Beckwith. His team escaped me. I believe it's the I could be saying this wrong, but I believe he's in the White Sox organization, and that could be wrong. And I said Hisong's with the Braves, and Paul Selly's with I mentioned he's with the Tigers, and those 3. So Myers is in A ball. The other 3 are in extended spring training, awaiting an assignment to a team.
From the outside looking in, do you think there really is that tremendous difference between single A, double A, and triple A?
That's interesting you asked that, because we just talked to Keith Bodie, the Keys manager, about that, and he believes the biggest jump in the minor leagues is from A ball to double A. That's the biggest jump you'll make in the minor leagues, from A to double A. Double A to triple A, not so much, and low A to high A, not so much, and short season to A, not so much. But the biggest jump, he believes, and he's been in baseball for more than 40 years, he believes the biggest jump is from A ball to double A. And he said that really the biggest jump is from anywhere in the minor leagues, even triple A, to the major leagues. So some of these guys can move through the organization quickly. I mean, we'll just have to see, depending on what's in front of them at their position and how well they perform, obviously.
Looking at some of the other athletes, is there any athlete in the past few years that you watched and you thought, darn, that guy's got to go somewhere and didn't?
That's an interesting question.
That's a tough question.
Yeah. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's a variety of factors that play into that. Grades are a factor. How well do they perform in school? Economic, not all these sports offer full scholarships. Just because you're on scholarship playing sports at a college doesn't mean you're on a full scholarship. So finances come into the equation too, and the family's economic background, that comes into the, and just what type of kid they are, what type of fit. I mean, do they fit the need of the school that is recruiting them? So I'm sure there's been examples where, man, you thought that guy would have made it and something didn't work out. But there's so many factors in play that it's bound to happen.
Coaches have told me on a number of occasions that they've had players that their family's economic condition was such that it just kept them from going any further.
Right.
That they had so many commitments that they couldn't meet. They had so many demands on them for trying to do things that they couldn't do financially, and it was just, it's a real shame. And I know coaches go out of their way to try to help when they can, and they don't get any credit for that because they don't talk about it. But it's a real problem for some kids that they don't get that opportunity. And you see all the kids and I know we're not going to get a chance to name all of them, but there's so many kids that get to go on and play in college now. And it's amazing from Frederick County when you consider how difficult it is to do that. I mean, all those college teams are all-star teams.
Right. Yeah. And again, when you talk about the economics of it, you think that all these kids are on full scholarships, but most of them are not. Football will give you a full scholarship. Basketball, men's basketball, and I think women's now too, with Title IX and other issues, they offer full scholarships. But if you're playing at sport outside of that, you're not guaranteed to be on a full scholarship. So yeah, economics come into it. Schoolwork. I mean, if a kid is great on the field or great on the court or great playing sports, but doesn't take school seriously and gets bad grades, that will turn colleges off and colleges will steer clear of that kid. So you got to be good in both to really create the best opportunity for yourself.
Long time ago, I got a chance to talk to Coach Cater at Shepherd. And there is a program that really impressed me. And one of the things they do with all the kids that come in there is they demand that they get everything done. They have a schedule they have to keep. They're checked on all the time by the staff to make sure they're keeping up with all their courses. Attendance is checked and things like that. And I think that's pretty routine now for most of the programs. Is that true?
I believe so. And one of the things you have to factor in when you're playing sports in college, that's basically a more or less is a full-time job. So there's a big outcry among many people that these athletes should be paid. These college athletes should be paid. I don't think the money is there to pay them, because the money generated by the football team and the men's basketball team, that is turned back into the school to pay for all the other sports and really to support the athletic department as a whole. But when you're playing college football, that's basically a full-time job. You don't have time to do much else, including go to class. I mean, that becomes a factor.
I've always thought that especially in Division I, with the big conferences, the amount of money they make, they could afford to pay the players at least something minimum. And the fact that they don't, they're changing it now.
The question is, who do you pay, though? You can't pay everyone. You can't. Can you pay... And how much do you pay?
That's a good point.
How much do you?
At least you could insure.
I mean, the crew team. Like, could you pay the members of the crew team at all these colleges?
Don't know.
Probably not.
But you know, it's the same point. You have kids that get injured and can't play again. Okay, for that. And I don't think there's any compensation given to them at all.
What they do, some do. Some of the can't miss surefire draft prospects, they take out insurance policies. Pitchers, they'll insure their arms they'll take out multi-million-dollar insurance policies on their arm. Running backs in football.
But that's the individual doing that. That's not the school, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So if they were to have some injury that ended their career in college before they had the chance to play professionally, there would at least be some money there waiting for them.
That's a great idea if they can afford it.
Yep.
If you just tuned in, this is Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD with Ed Lulley and Pete McLeod. Pete will be back next weekend. Brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. And please check next time you go into Nimio Federal Credit Union to see the Nimio Players of the Month. They're up on the screen there, and we pick two every month. Today we have Greg Swatek here, the Frederick News Post sports reporter. Extremely knowledgeable, as you're hearing, about sports in general and Frederick County in particular. Let's just look at some of the guys that are going. Danny Bertone, we had him on.
He's not in college yet. He's still at Middletown, a four-time state champion. Only lost two out of, I think, 180 wrestling matches in high school, I think.
He was one of our NMEO Players of the Month, which is why I'm bringing him up. But an incredible young man. And one of the things that really impressed me was his work ethic.
Yeah. You know, you don't get that good by accident. I mean, you have to have the work ethic. So, and he'll be at the University of Maryland starting in the fall.
And Kendall Brise last year was it last year or is it 2 years ago?
It would have been her final season at Urbana ended in 2015.
Yeah. So it was last year. An extraordinary young lady, and I believe she's down at GW. Right?
GW playing. I don't know exactly. I'm not familiar with how she played for GW this year, but I know she's on the team and playing basketball there.
Get there, and let me go off for a second on some of the players that I do know. You've got Rick Leonard. He's down at Florida State
playing offensive line. That's not what he played in high school. He was the defensive lineman, and he was the defensive player of the year in the state of Maryland, I believe, in 2013 when Middletown won its last state title for football.
Florida State's website has him listed as a defensive end now. You think that's an error?
Yes, because he played on the offensive line. In fact, I brought some show and tell. I know this won't help our listeners, Ed, but there's a big picture that we did in December of Ricky Leonard. He goes by Rick Leonard now, I guess, since he's gotten a little older. He's dropped the Ricky.
And that was from December, so that's
right. And he's an offensive lineman
in
Florida State.
He's an incredible athlete.
Yep.
But that's the kind of success we've seen coming out of Frederick County. You've also got Bradley Reinhardt, he's at Shepherd. You've got Andrea Silva, he's at Shepherd.
Bradley played football for Middletown, right. Good running back, and Silva was a defensive lineman at Urbana who also was on a good wrestler for them as well.
And Jack Staub,
who was a basketball player at Ligonier and a football player, a receiver for the Ligonier football team.
And Justin Falsinelli, I believe he's a redshirt sophomore. For Maryland? No,
Clemson. He's on the Clemson football team. He's been a backup lineman for them. He was on the team for both of Clemson's national championship game appearances, including the game they won against Alabama in January. So he's been a part of a team that's played in two national championship games.
Well, he was extraordinary. Of course, he was at Middletown. Will McLean, another Middletown guy, he was a redshirted freshman. And a guy that I didn't expect to see redshirt was Ed Donahue from Ligonier.
He's down at Maryland. EJ Donahue. Yep.
EJ, I'm sorry, I can't read my notes.
Yeah. He's down at Maryland, and he's redshirting and looking to work his way into the rotation on the offensive line.
We had both of them in here and interviewed them on Frederick County Sports Weekend. And these guys, they're about to be teammates, but they didn't like each other very much from the years they played against each other.
McLean and Donahue, you're talking
great
about?
Great young men. I really look forward to seeing them. I'm sure they're going to get a chance to play sooner or later.
Well, I mean, just to show you, I mean, again, this won't help our listeners because it's a bit of a show
visual,
and tell.
Yeah.
It's visual, not audio, but here's we have a nice big story in the Christmas edition of the paper on Ricky Leonard. And then this is the continuation of the story on an inside page of our newspaper. And it, as you can see, it takes up most of the page. That's how many kids we have playing sports in college in this county.
That is incredible. That's a whole page, too, except for the very top of it. I mean, that's amazing.
And that's the continuation of the story that started out front. And look how much of the story ran out front. So we do keep tabs. Joe Ferraro, our great sports writer at the News Post, he's in charge of keeping tabs on all these college kids. He does a good job. And every couple of months towards the end of every season, fall, winter, and spring, we'll run something called College Notes in the paper, and that's where we provide little synopsises and updates on all the kids that we can keep tabs on.
It's the end of April. It's kind of been like summer and winter at the same month. It's been
right. It was a cold finish to the winter there. I mean, we had a warm February. It was really warm.
It was.
But then some cold weather returned right in the middle of March there.
But it's the end of April, and I'm thinking these kids are about to start graduating in May, and June's coming, and the end of the school year. So athletics is coming to a close in Frederick County. Do you see any more players maybe going on to college this year that we haven't seen?
Well, the guys I'm keeping my eye on are the guys that have a chance to maybe make the jump to the pro. We mentioned Jacob Wetzel, who could be drafted. Maybe not this year, but next year he's likely to be drafted. And there's so many good athletes. Again, it's hard to single out just one because there's so many of them. Football, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Football's not really the month that they hear, is it?
Well, we had the signing day back in February, right, for a lot of these sports. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, just from what I know, the Oakdale girls lacrosse program. I'll take them for example. They put 4 kids in Division I colleges last year. They're going to send another 5 or 6 this coming year. 2 of their Division I players got hurt in the same practice. They tore their ACLs in the very same practice. But they still have an excellent team. I mean, that's how much talent, and that's a credit to their coaching staff and Beth and Brian Nave, who coached the team and are well connected in the lacrosse community, both in high school and college. They're really helping those kids get to the next level. So,
you know, that's one thing we didn't touch on, is this doesn't happen unless you've got good coaching. You can have all the talent in the world, but unless you're in an individual like track and field or something like that, you may never get the chance to show that. If you're on a team that's well coached and gets a chance to demonstrate that over a period of time, then you're more likely, I believe, to have the opportunity to go to the next level and play in college.
You need everything. You need talent. You need good coaching. You need the opportunities to be there and the people to be at the right place at the right time to meet the opportunities. So there's so many factors, so many combinations. You need smart kids. They have to perform well in school. So there's just so many factors that make even a simple college choice happen that it sort of makes your head spin a little bit.
And I wanted to touch on the fact that we've got such great coaches here in Frederick County. We really do. It's somewhat surprising, I think, in the fact that they've been so good over such a long period of time.
Well, the bottom line is Frederick's a really nice place to live, and people want to live in Frederick. So if you have a lot of people that want to live in an area, chances are you're going to find some good folks and some talented folks in this area. So and that's manifested itself. That's borne itself out through our sports scene, which is some of the best sports you'll see high school wise in the state across the board. Football is right at the top, if not or right near the top, if it's not there. Track and field, we have teams win state team championships at the track and field meets. So it's just a remarkable area for wrestling. I mean, we have teams that contend for state titles. Middletown was won 2 straight state titles in wrestling, team titles.
Girls,
so
basketball,
yeah, Frederick High. I mean, basketball's a bit of the high profile sports. Basketball hasn't been as successful as some of the others. The Frederick girls, in my time here, are the only team to win the state title for basketball, and they've done it twice.
And they may be doing it again.
Yeah, because their best player was only a sophomore. She's finishing her sophomore year in the next month or two.
And it's a lot of fun getting the opportunity to do these games, sit down and talk to you. The one thing that's not fun is we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
So it goes so quick.
Hey, you don't have enough time to talk about all of these things.
We really,
really
don't. So we apologize to all the people we didn't mention, because it's a lot of them. What are you looking forward to in the next few months as we get ready for the fall sports?
Well, I mean, there's 3 football coaching vacancies still that haven't been filled. So
Middletown,
Kevin Lenott took a new job, and that sort of changed his schedule, and he really couldn't coach the football team anymore. And then Urbana's job has been open really since the end of the season in November, and so is TJ's job. Brunswick filled their coaching opening with Jerry Smith, the former TJ coach. So the football offseason program starts in January. That's when those kids get together. That's when they start lifting weights. That's when they start doing team activities. So to have 3 schools without a coach here at the end of April almost, I mean, that's becoming newsworthy.
It is. You think they'll be filled before the end of the year?
I've heard rumblings that a couple of these schools have their guys in place, just for some reason they haven't announced it yet. But I think before the end of the school year, I think all 3 jobs will be filled. I think they have to be, because it's, I mean, it's going to be August before we know it.
Yeah, and they're going to have to right now, I would presume, that the assistant coaches are the ones that are running things?
I think at Middletown, I think Kevin Lynott is still – he's still in the building. So I think he's helping with the transition, and he's doing as much as he can to keep things running as smoothly as possible.
You're talking about a guy that I used to see doing the PA announcing for the middle school games.
Yeah,
I mean, he really is.
He's involved in the community. His kids are in the schools and in the community. So he's been great for Middletown.
But he's not unique. There's so many coaches in Frederick County.
Right.
We don't have time to mention them all. But they know each other. They help each other out. And one of the things they do successfully is help promote their kids to get scholarships and get them into the next level. And we've seen a fair amount of that. Greg, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Always enjoy working with you and Pete.
My pleasure. Pete sends his apologies. He wanted to be here too. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend with Ed Lilly and Pete McLeod. Pete will be back next weekend. We've been talking to Greg Swatek of the Frederick News Post, talking all about college athletics and Frederick County athletics. And it was a lot of fun, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.
And thank you for listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend. We wish you a wonderful weekend. Thanks for tuning in.